In other words, how do we live out the greatest commandments when things are tough in our lives, when things aren't going very well, when we're faced with difficult situations or circumstances that we have to deal with? And we started out this series of lessons a few weeks ago. We were talking about the topic of how to choose a president. Remember, when we talked about that, I told you, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to tell you how to vote. How to decide and on that. And based on the greatest commandments, we were talking about the idea says, you know, one thing we got to remember is when we have a particular loyalty to a party or to a particular candidate, that we follow Christ first before that loyalty. See? And before, you know, we enter into the voting booth, we have to remember what is God calling upon us to do. Now, before we go on with our lesson this morning, I want to point out to you something that we have available to you. This is a 2016 party platform comparison. This isn't who to vote for. This is basically a side-by-side list of all different issues and topics that are facing the candidates today and facing our nation, and to help you to look and to see where do the individual candidates and parties stand on all those different issues. These are back on the table in the foyer if you would like to have one to help you look over those things and helping you in the whole issue of how to choose a president. Then these are back there for you to consider, all right? Now,
I do.
Let me ask you this question. Show of hands.
Anymore?
How many of you are worried about the upcoming elections? Okay. Well, I have a prediction for, you know, this election coming up, all right? I'm going to tell you how things are going to be on November the 9th, the day after the election. When we wake up on November the 9th, after the election is over, God is still going to be sovereign. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't matter who wins the presidency. God is still going to be in charge.
Right.
So what are you worried about? Okay? What are you worried about? God is going to continue to be in charge of this country and of this universe. Okay? You see, we worry about a lot of things that we don't have a whole lot of control over, don't we? But God has control over everything. And we need to remember that He is sovereign God. So whoever physically, you know, humanity-wise wins this election, God is not going to be sitting up in heaven going, oh man, what am I going to do now? I didn't see that coming. I promise you that is not going to happen, okay?
That's right.
So this morning, what I want you to think about with me, I want you to open up your Bible, if you haven't already done so, to Romans chapter 13, because what we're going to talk about is greatest commandment living while living with an unfriendly government. Okay? Now, again, keep in mind, that title fits. And it's been for a long time in America, as we've talked about our divided culture and the way things go. We talked about that last week, and it doesn't really matter which one of the primary candidates gets in the White House this time. Okay, there's going to be some problems. Okay, the issue is not really who gets in there. The issue is, how are you and I, as God's people, going to live out God's commandments, okay, as we live under their authority? Now, think about that. Let me ask you this question. Or we talk about the first topic in our study this morning is, who died and left you in charge? Now, that title kind of comes from my childhood. I don't know about you, but you know, when I was a kid growing up, I'm the third oldest in my family of seven kids. I have two older sisters. I'm the oldest boy. And whenever my parents were gone somewhere, usually one of my oldest sisters, my two older sisters, usually the oldest one was, quote unquote, in charge. And she didn't mind making sure that we knew that. Okay? And she would kind of go about ordering us around and do this, do that, and you wait till Dad gets home and all those kind of things, because I got to be honest, I wasn't the best brother in the world, okay? But there were a lot of times I can remember that my other sister and I, we would say to my oldest sister when she was bossing us around, and that's what we say to people who boss us around, isn't it? Who died and left you in charge? And that's what we'd say to her.
Well,
of course, she would always say, well, Dad didn't die, but he left me in charge. You see? Because she was in charge. But isn't that something that we like to tell someone when they're telling us what to do and they're bossing us around, and especially when we don't like what they're telling us to do? And that's a form of rebellion, really, isn't it? Well, the reality of it is that Jesus died and he left rulers in charge.
That's right.
Look at what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, the fact that God established the governing authorities.
Yeah.
Okay? And he says, everyone, who does that include?
Yeah.
Raise your hand if that includes you. Everybody's hand should be up, okay? Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Okay? You see, God is sovereign, isn't he?
Amen.
And whatever the outcome of the coming election is, you need to understand that God has established that authority. And not only that, but he expects you and I as his people to submit to that authority, whether you agree with them, whether you like them or not. He says everyone must submit to those voices. Why? Because God's the one who established it. Okay? They are established by God in order to keep order and to protect the citizens. That's what government does. That's the function of the government. Someone said, can you imagine a society without government?
Well,
my answer to that is right now, take a look over in the Middle East at Libya. And look at, you know, Iraq right now. Yeah, they got a government, but, okay?
Good.
It's chaos. Mm-hmm. Because nobody's really in charge. You say, well, but wait a minute, Russ, what about Gaddafi? He was the leader of Libya before, and yeah, thankfully we got rid of him, right? Well, no, but look at the mess that's there now. Nobody's in charge. And he said, well, but he was a bad guy. He was a dictator and he hurt people. He did all kinds of, yeah. But he had control over things. You see, he established that control and provided and so on and so forth. And we need to understand what the purpose of all of that is. Because people say, well, wait a minute, God's established all these authorities. What about Hitler? Who would agree that, you know, Hitler was a good person? No, not, I don't think anybody would. Well, but he was in charge of the government, wasn't he? Did God put him there so he could hurt people? No. God allowed him to be in that position. For what purpose? I don't pretend to know the mind of God. And I'm not going to try to outguess him. I do believe this. First of all, that God has reasons that you and I don't clearly understand for things all the time. And secondly, that God uses people, even bad people, to accomplish good things. See? And again, thirdly, it doesn't matter who's in charge of the government, God is in charge of the world.
Amen.
See? And we need to think about another aspect of all of that. You know, when it comes to, you know, who's going to be in charge and who's going to lead and so forth, there's an old saying that says, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. See? And throughout history, that kind of thing has happened when it comes to those who are leading and governing other people. See? We need to remember that the statement that Paul makes in verse 3, look at that statement here as he goes down here. He says, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. Now, we say, well, if that's true, Russ, then what about all these bad people? Because certainly a lot of innocent people that have done nothing wrong have been hurt by those in authority, right? Well, does that mean that Paul was wrong in what he said? No. What Paul, I believe, is really trying to get us to understand is that God set up this system of government and intended for it to be for the good of people. In other words, that's how God intends it to be. But because there's so much evil in the world, men don't always follow God's design, do they? So this isn't intended to be a statement that in all cases, government is going to be good, and if you behave yourself, you're not going to have to suffer at all. Sometimes bad people are there, and they're going to do bad things. But the principle is basically that you and I need to understand what God's will is concerning how we respond and react to that government. Amen. You see, it shows what God's design and intent is. Amen. And what he wants for us to do. Stop and think about it for a moment. Think about the bad governments that are there. Bad governments, perhaps, that we have had and perhaps will have in the future, down the road, not now, but, you know, whenever. What does God want you and I to do? And how do you and I live out the greatest commandments when we do have a bad government? Well, we need to respond, first of all, in obedience to God and to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, no matter what is going on in terms of the government. And we need to love our neighbor as ourself. And who does that include? The government, the people, the president, the vice president, the senators, congressmen, your mayors, all of those people are included in that. Aren't they? So therefore, we have a responsibility to respond to them and to live the way God has called us to toward those people. Let's talk about rebelling then. Okay? Verse 2, he says, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves.
Well,
so, is it okay then for us to rebel against the government that we don't like or disagree with? The answer to that is absolutely not. No. Why? Because if you do, you're rebelling against God. Because God's the one who established that governing authority. All right? And those who do rebel, he says, will bring judgment on themselves. And so we need to ask the question then, well, is it ever okay, or when is it okay for us to rebel against the government?
No.
Well, I would suggest to you there are two. two occasions. Okay? The first one is whenever the government demands that we do something against God. Okay? Then yes, we have an obligation in our relationship with God to obey God rather than men. As Peter and the other apostles told the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. They were dragged before the Sanhedrin and told not to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, judge for yourselves whether it is right for us to obey you rather than God. But as for ourselves, we cannot help but teach and preach in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that is an exception that says when the government says, you've got to do this, and God says, no, don't do that, we need to follow God. Why? Because as we said earlier in our study and mentioned to you, reminded you a moment ago, we first belong to God before we belong or put our allegiance with anybody else.
Amen.
The second occasion or reason why we can rebel against our government is when our government allows us to do that. Now, think the government allows us to rebel? Absolutely. Our Constitution guarantees us the right to rebel against our government, doesn't it? We're allowed to rebel. We're allowed to criticize. We're allowed to complain. That's within our constitutional rights as American citizens to do that. But there are proper ways and improper ways even to do that. You say? But when the government gives us certain rights to do those things, then we're allowed to do those things. And we're not violating God's law because the government says that you can do that. You can speak out against the government here. Keep in mind, there's a lot of places in the world even today you can't do that.
That's right.
And we are truly blessed here in America. Understand this also. When Paul wrote these words, okay, God's people were being persecuted by the government. They didn't have the right to speak out against the government. Okay? But you and I have that right today, at least here in America. We enjoy certain rights that the New Testament Christians never had or enjoyed. And yet understand that these instructions were just as valid for them as they are for you and I today, even though they didn't have the rights that you and I do. Okay? In other words, there is no exception that I read in any of these statements here that says you need to obey the government unless you don't like what they're saying. Or unless they're harsh to you or any of those other things. It doesn't say that, does it?
No.
Right? We need to obey that which is good. We have certain rights and obligations. But here's really, I think, what the bottom line of it all is. What does God really want? And how do you and I live out the greatest commandments even when the government is not favorable to us? And you know, I keep mentioning that because we have, you know, the way things are going right now in America, it's not favorable towards Christian. It's going to get worse. Okay? It's going to get worse. So how do we live out the greatest commandments as things get worse? Well, I think the answer basically is this. You and I, no matter what's going on with the government or around us in culture and society, we talked about last week about culture, you and I need to be the best citizens there are. Now think about what that means, okay? There are a lot of citizens in this country, aren't there?
Yeah.
There are a lot of them that aren't very good.
Yeah.
Brethren, that must not be God's children. In other words, as we relay and respond to our government, we need to do it based on Christian principles and be the best citizens that the government can possibly have.
Wow.
Does that make sense? Okay. Look over with me in 1 Peter for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at what Peter writes concerning this very same thing. 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 13. Peter says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Does that sound familiar? Same thing that Paul's saying, right? Okay, is there any of them that are excluded from that? When he says every. No, they're all included, all right? Then he says, whether to the king, we say, we don't have a king. Just substitute the word president in there. It means the same thing. Okay? As to the supreme authority, or as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. So, what is Peter telling us here? You submit to the authorities, the government authorities, whether you're talking about the president, the federal government, you're talking about the local governments, the governor, the mayors, the police. You submit to them. Why? Because you know what? And again, it's happening more and more. It was happening when Peter wrote these words that people were saying all kinds of negative, terrible things, accusing Christians of being against the government. And Peter's saying, you live your life the way God calls you to live so that you silence that kind of foolish talk. And so if you and I are living, even if the government is unfriendly to us, if we are living the greatest commandments, when people accuse us, Peter says, we can silence their ignorant talk by the way that we are living. You see, it's not what we say that matters as much as what we do, how we live our life. And God calls upon us to love one another, and that one another includes the president, the vice president, the governors, you know, and all of them. See? The wise man in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20, said this. Do not revile the king, even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird of the air may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. Let me ask you a question. If you want to, raise your hand. How many of you have ever said anything bad about the President of the United States? Either the current one or one before. Those of you who don't have your hand up, I'm giving you a second chance. I'm giving you a third chance. Are you hearing me? You see, I got my hand up. Okay? Because isn't that what we do? We don't like them. We don't like what they do. We don't, whatever the case may be, and we're going to unload on. I stand before you this morning repenting for the things that I have said in my mind and with my words. Some of our leaders. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just going to say it. I don't like the current president we have. It has nothing to do with the color of his skin. You can say whatever you want to. I don't like his policies. Okay? And I have said to people time and time again how much I disagree with him and I wish he wasn't our president. And I'm standing before you right now telling you I was wrong for doing that. I've been wrong. What I need to be doing instead of doing that is praying for him.
Amen.
More and more.
Amen.
And that's what you and I need to be doing more and more of. See? Because that's what God calls upon us to do. Not to be reviling, not be tearing them down, but to be bringing them before God. Because they are our leaders established by Him. Let's talk about death and taxes and finish up this morning. Somebody said, the only two things you have to do in this world, when someone says, you got to do this, you got to do that, you say, I don't want to do anything except die and pay taxes. It's the only two things I have to do. The writer of Hebrews tells us we have to die, right? It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So we all have to die. Okay? And, you know, we have to pay taxes. You say, well, why do I have to do that? Well, go back over to Romans with me for just a moment. And look at what Paul says there about that issue. Verse 6. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to government. To governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. Respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. You give to them what is due them. So why do you have to pay taxes? Because God said to. See? God said to. You say, well, wait a minute. Am I allowed to take deductions? If the government allows you to take deductions, take deductions. The issue is you pay whatever you are obligated by the law, by the government to pay. Don't cheat. Don't refuse to pay, as many Christians do. It's wrong. You see, if the government is established by God in order to protect us, guess what they need in order to do that?
Money.
Money. Okay, you can say it. Everybody say that. Money.
Money.
What form does the government get money in?
Taxes.
Taxes. See, it's, you know, that's a bad word, isn't it? No, it's not a bad word. It's a necessary word. We don't like it because it takes some of our income, but God's saying you pay your taxes out of your income so that the government can perform its duty. That's our obligation before God, even when we disagree with what the government is doing. You see? Someone says, I'm not going to pay taxes because the government's going to spend it on war stuff. It's not your choice. Okay? Not your choice. Pay taxes because the government said, pay taxes. Because that's what God tells you to do. Okay? God tells us that you and I, as His people, need to support the government by paying the taxes and revenues that we owe. And if we are to truly be obedient to God, then we need to be doing that which He has told us to do concerning this matter. But it's not just a matter of doing it just to do it. It's not a matter of doing it with the wrong intention. We need to be doing it
with the right intention,
with the greatest commandment lived. Okay? Again, first of all, by loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. The government is not friendly to Christians right now. And I don't see that changing. No matter what happens here, you know, on November the 8th. But that doesn't let you and I off the hook. In terms of saying, well, because the government's unfriendly to us, we don't have to obey the government. Yes, you do. Because God said so. It's a tough, tough issue, isn't it? See? Because, you know, right now in our present climate, we're faced with tough decisions. In terms of, you know, who's going to lead this country, who's going to be in charge of the government. How do we respond? Whoever's in charge. the same way. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter who's in charge. We respond the same way. Why? Because ultimately, as I said when we began, God is sovereign. And He has all of this under control. It is too far above my pay grade for Him to disclose to me all of His plans. And I guess probably yours also. See? And that's where our trust and our faith in Him has to come. Allow God to do and to work whatever it is that He's going to do. Okay? Because it all belongs to Him anyway. Living the greatest commandments is not always easy. In some circumstances and situations, it's tougher than others. And this is one of those tough situations that we really have to be honest with ourselves and say, look, how am I going to respond when the government tells me I need to do this? Well, if it's not against God's law, I need to do it. But if it is against God's law, I need to stand up and say, no, I'm going to obey God rather than you. But I do it in a way that allows my actions in my life to silence the foolish talk of those who would accuse of bad things. That's the real key to it all. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us, so we're going to stand together and sing in just a moment. It's an invitation song for us to offer a time when anybody can come and say, hey, I'm struggling with this in my life, and I need some prayers, I need some guidance, I need some teaching, or I just need some help with this in my life. It's also a time for anyone to come that is not yet a Christian, but perhaps has come to a point in their life where they realize that they're ready to make a commitment to be God's child, to give their life to Him and to have Him be Lord of their life. And if that describes you this morning, if you're not a Christian, you're still separated from God by your sins. But you can change that right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. Confess Him as Son. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And we've got water ready right here, don't we, Chuck? You can do that right now. You don't have to wait. You can become His child, and you can leave this place this morning a new creation in Christ Jesus. If that's what you need to do, all you do is come up and let me know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone who would like to have a private conversation or a prayer with him. He'll be back there to receive you, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone who would like to come up here. Let's stand together and see.